Good morning. Thank you for tuning in and being an integral part of the show today. I'm Barbara Sayers, CEO and Marketing Director of Sister to Sister Enterprises, a marketing and strategic consulting firm. My hope is that you will gain enough from the show to come back again and again, and that you will tell your friends and the people you do business with about the show as well. My purpose for the show is to provide value in the form of educational pieces each time we air. As to what makes a solid foundation for a business, what forms of marketing are out there, how do they work, how do you know which one is the best fit for your business, and much, much more. Today, I'll be talking about webinar and video marketing, and that will be after our second guest today, so stay tuned until the end for this valuable educational information that can literally transform your business. The other aspect of the show is that we will have in-depth interviews with business owners and successful established entrepreneurs. We'll pick their brains, too, for the best practices and methods to grow your business and expand your reach, what works and doesn't work, and how to capitalize on what does work. So let's dive right in and get to our first guest. We have the distinct honor of having Michael Hall with us today, owner of Dress for Less Clothiers at 3045 South Broadway in Inglewood. This store has a proud 30-year history before Michael bought it in July of 2013, having been opened originally in June of 1986. Michael has taken that icon of the community, developed and improved, refined and redesigned, tweaked and lovingly nurtured it into what it is today, a force of nature in the men's clothing market. Welcome, Michael. We're so glad you could join us today.
Well, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So, Mike, I always like to start out by asking that you tell us a little bit about yourself. Who is Michael Hall? What makes him tick? And what are your passions in life?
Ooh, what makes me tick? You want good or bad? Because I have both.
The good, the bad, and the ugly, right?
There's always good and bad and ugly in business. And yeah, so I would say the thing that makes me tick, obviously, is drive. I look at business as a challenge that needs to be basically hit head on. And if you don't give it 100% in every level, it's just not going to happen. That's really what makes kind of me tick, is building something that, you know, 30, 40 years from now is still here, you know, and not something that was a really good idea and it was a trend that lasted a couple years, but then it just kind of goes away and nobody remembers it.
Mm-hmm. And having known you personally for a few years, I have to say that is right on. That's absolutely what makes you tick. So what are some of your passions in life, Mike?
Well, so my former passions in life was actually finance. But, you know, everybody remembers 2008, 2009, and kind of the, you know, global shift in that and, you know, kind of how things changed kind of in that aspect. And, you know, mm-hmm. It became really overly regulated. And, yeah, I'd have to agree that there was some stuff that was lacking in the past that should have been there. But, you know, just like anything else, it's kind of trial and error. But, you know, business has always been a thing of mine. A lot of people don't actually realize that when I first started college, I was pre-law because I wanted to be an attorney. But it was very indecisive of kind of what practice I wanted to go into, you know, whether it was personal injury or corporate or criminal defense. And I was always really, really, really good at math. In fact, I actually won, when I was 12, I won the State of Ohio Math Championship. So I decided to kind of go into business because, you know, finance and business, it's all kind of math related. It's all, you know, accounting and marketing. And that was kind of always one of my biggest strong suits. So like, that's what I kind of pursued.
Right. And so you started out in the financial world.
I did. When I very first left high school, I got a job as a loan officer writing home loans, which was really fun. And while a lot of my friends were actually, you know, working in the mall or whatever, you know, jobs they were working at that point in time, I was doing pretty well for myself because, you know, interacting with people was always a big thing. And obviously with the, you know, wanting to pursue a career in finance, it was a really good stepping stone.
Absolutely. So it seems like a huge leap from the finance and mortgage world into fashion. What made you go from one to the other?
I've always been an investor. I've always looked at, obviously, you know, what can I put time, effort, and money into that I can grow into something. And I've always been a fairly sharp-dressed gentleman. I've always appreciated finer clothes. You know, appearance, a lot of people don't take very seriously. I've always taken appearance very seriously because, you know, we've seen articles, we've seen everything else. That are, the first thing the person looks at when they meet you is your appearance. How do you carry yourself? You know, what do you look like? Do you look like somebody who's a used car salesman? Do you look like somebody who just crawled out of bed? Or do you look like somebody who's very well put together and very serious about what they're there to do?
And
you know, the thing with clothing is there's a lot of options out there. The problem is a lot of people don't really educate themselves. You know, we've turned into a society of what we see on TV is the spoken truth. I mean, we look at Men's Warehouse, and the founder who built that company got thrown out of it. It's not even part of it anymore.
Oh.
You know, and it's very unfortunate when I see things like that happen, but, you know, you really have to, you know, as an owner, you know, an establisher, an investor, you know, you really have to keep reins on stuff because, unfortunately, when you start relinquishing control, especially in the world of fashion or clothing or textiles, you know, it takes 30 seconds for somebody to come in and kind of change your entire vision because they're not you. They can't see what's in your head. But, yes,
okay.
It was a very drastic change.
Yeah. So I'm assuming that you've been shopping at this store for a while.
Oh, absolutely. I was actually first introduced to it by one of my colleagues back in very early 2003.
And I
was very, very intrigued by the business model at that point in time. But, you know, as somebody who was, you know, not even out of college yet and, you know, didn't have a ton of money to spend and honestly didn't know anything past Kohl's or, you know, a department store, you know, this was very new to me.
Absolutely. So has this been a good move for you?
Absolutely. Like anything else, you know, it's got its bumps and bruises and ups and downs and, you know, trials and errors. But, you know, in the last 3 years that I've actually owned it, it's taken on the shape where moving forward, you know, it turned 30 years old on June 12th when I purchased it. It was, you know, coming up on 28 years old and actually coming up on 27 years old. And it was a completely different business before I purchased it. But the last 36 months have been quite the learning curve, that's for sure.
I agree. And so what makes your store special? How have you made changes?
We do things differently. I wouldn't call them trade secrets, but there's always a smarter way to do something when you think outside of the box. You know, we cater towards every person from, I just got out of college, I don't have a lot of money, but I have to look good, to, you know, very wealthy clients who are just frugal with money, and they're not willing to go to one of the big name places and spend tons and tons of money, because most consumers don't realize all of the people that are basically in between distribution to when you walk to that checkout counter. And we've pretty much cut out every single middleman in between. You know, I don't have a board of directors to answer to. I don't have shareholders to answer to. I don't have, you know, private venture capitalists to answer to. Everything that I do is self-funded. So any decision that gets made, I pretty much make solo. And if it works, it works. And if it doesn't, it doesn't. But what we do is we offer stuff, you know, that's on the very high level of what's considered luxury menswear. You know, we import stuff from Italy. We import stuff from Spain. We import stuff from all of the countries in Europe.
Wow.
We do it very, very, very well. But we're able to bring that to your average consumer that, you know, might walk through, you know, let's say a Neiman Marcus and pick up a price tag and say, wow, $4,000 for a suit. Well, that same suit, if you came into our store, is going to cost you about $900. Significant difference.
Absolutely. Very cool. So I hope you all are catching this. This is a high-quality fashion store at very reasonable prices. So, Michael, what do you hope to accomplish in the future for your store?
Expansion. You know, one of our biggest goals is going into other markets. And, you know, when you're self-funding, that takes time. And it takes efforts. And obviously a lot of know-how. You know, you have to do a lot of research on the markets, what you want to go into, which is very time-consuming, you know, because even all of your big stores, they do stuff by region. You know, so there's a lot of data that's collected of, okay, this is very popular in this area of the country, but it's not going to be as popular over here. So, you know, there's a lot of what I like to call sweat equity that goes into anything, but our goal is to, you know, in the next 10 to 15 years, have a presence in every major metropolitan area, you know, and maybe then some. You know, we have a lot of stuff that we're looking at from different angles to really kind of grow the company into a national brand.
Excellent. And I hope I'm not speaking out of turn, but are you looking to change the name of the store?
You know, I've tossed the idea around, and the interesting thing about its presence in Colorado versus elsewhere, and, you know, I've talked to colleagues, friends of colleagues, people in other cities, and with this more or less being a very well-known Denver, you know, company, Denver, we will absolutely keep it as it is. We decided we're not going to touch it. Now, when we go into other markets, we'll absolutely be going in under a different name that's a lot more generalized, but it will basically be under the same company blanket, same business model. Nothing will change at all. You know, we're just going to do something that's a little more catchy. And, you know, I've branded, I've trademarked, I've had logos made. We're actually going to be going into other markets under the name Dapper.
Dapper, I like it. So I know that our listeners are wondering how they can check out your store. So give us the address again and the phone number, and if you have a website that they can go to, how can our folks get in touch with you?
Oh, absolutely. We have multiple channels to get in touch with us. We're on Instagram, we're on Twitter, we're on Facebook. We're pretty much everywhere. Because in today's day and age, if you're not on social media or have some sort of social marketing, you're not going to be able to kind of develop with the times. You know, our web address, you can go on, check out our website, kind of see our background and what we do, get a little bio of myself and also, you know, employees that work for the store. That is www.d4less.net. So www.dforless.net is our website. And, you know, Twitter, Facebook, Dress for Less Clothiers, all one word spelled out, no spaces. And that's how you can also find us on Instagram.
Cool. All right.
And our physical store address is 3045 South Broadway in Englewood, and we're just about literally a half a block up from Broadway and Dartmouth on the west side of the street, right across from Walgreens. We're a freestanding building, so not hard to find us.
Excellent. Thank you. And parking is in the rear, correct?
We have street parking, which thank you, City of Englewood, for having that. And we also have a parking lot, which is in the back off of the alleyway. So, yes, we have ample parking.
Fantastic. So just to reiterate, www.d4less.net, www.d4less.net, and on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all that, Dress for Less Clothiers.
Absolutely.
Wonderful. So, Mike, the purpose of the show is to help business owners by giving them tips and advice, you know, nuts and bolts on running a business. So what advice can you give to our listeners regarding starting a business in the Denver area? And what are some of the practices that have propelled your business forward that others might emulate?
My biggest thing is do what you want to do, not what everybody else wants you to do. You know, I've made some leery and questionable investments, and I've learned from the past, but the thing is when you find your niche, you have to go with it. You take it by the reins, and you run that horse as fast as it can go. You know, it's not easy. You know, you're not going to make $1 million overnight. Anybody who does that is probably not doing something that's quite legal. But, you know, be prepared to work hard. Running a business, you know, whether you're buying something that's pre-existing, you know, because you're not the same owner, you know, you might not have the same direction. You know, the thing that I've learned about pre-existing businesses when you purchase them is, you know, a lot of times owners will sell them based on boredom and complacency. And, you know, there's times it's really hard. You know, if you go through one day and you make $5,000 in sales and the next day you make $50 in sales, you know, that's the last thing I look at, and that might sound really weird, is looking at the money. Because if you're focusing only on the money, you've already failed at business.
Explain that.
Money is an, to me, money is an after product of success. If you can't build something successful that's not solely based on money, you're really not going to get there. You know, business is based on passion. It's based on drive. And like I mentioned before, sweat equity, that is the biggest key to business, is how much of your own skin you're willing to put in and pretty much burn off your fingers in the game. Because nobody else is going to do it for you. There's no simple solution to creating the ideal business. You know, business is what you make out of it and what you want it to become. It's all in your hands. It's not in somebody else's.
How true. Very, very true.
And without customers, you have no business. That is one thing that I learned from one of my professors way back when, that if you're going to run a business, whether it's a Fortune 500 company or a cupcake store, if you don't have customers, you have no business.
Exactly. And piggybacking on what you said just before, you know, if you serve those customers and that's your focus, the money will follow.
Absolutely.
Correct? Yeah.
Absolutely. Because the key is creating long-term customers. And, you know, I'm not always involved in the day-to-day operations. You know, I'm not there present every day. But when I am there, the customer is my main focus. It's about relationship establishing. And, you know,
Absolutely.
When I first bought it, obviously there were long-term customers of the store. And this goes with any business, that all of a sudden now there's this new young gun coming in here. And, you know, we've been here for, you know, we've been going to this place for 20 years. And, you know, what's this guy going to do? And, you know, is he going to give the same perks the last guy did? And, yeah. And the worst thing that I avoided was pretty much keeping the same exact, I guess, mentality of those customers. You can't be afraid to say no.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't be afraid to make it your own. You know, when you buy something, you own it. So you have to go out there, and when you present it, you have to own it. It's yours, not the previous person's.
Right, and you are going to attract the clientele that relates to you.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, culture in the U.S., especially in the clothing market, is very diverse. You know, when somebody comes through the door of my business, you know, I don't care if they're black, white, Asian, Hispanic. They're there for a purpose, and they're there to look good, and they're there to try to save money. And people always forget that at the end of the day, there's no bias towards anybody. It's clothing, you know. Everybody from all walks of life, like I said, from, you know, very high-powered, wealthy people to somebody who's just starting out. You know, everybody that comes through our doors treated equally, regardless of who they are.
Excellent. The only way to do business.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry, but we are out of time. I wish we had more. Maybe we can have you on the show again, because I know there's much more that you can and want to share with us. I thank you so much for being on the show today. It was great getting to know you and your business. Maybe when you come back, you can tell us about some of the markets that you've gotten into between now and then.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, thank you again, Mike. We're going to take a short break, folks, and we'll be back in just a minute.
BBSRadio.com. If it's not mainstream, it could be here. Information and knowledge, bringing humanity closer to truth. BBSRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. You're with Biz Buzz on BBS Radio. Thanks for being with us and staying for our next business interview. We're taking a slight departure from our normal interview today. This business is actually a church, which is a little like a business, but much, much more than that. Our very special guest is Peter Van Ness, rector of the congregation at the New Apostolic Church, located in Arvada. Thank you for joining us today, and welcome, Reverend. May I call you Peter?
Yes, please. Thank you, Barb.
Thank you for being with us today. We're so excited to have you.
I'm excited as well.
Well, I always like to start out by asking that you tell us a little bit about yourself. So, who is Peter Van Ness, and what makes you tick? What are your passions in life?
Like you said, my name is Peter Van Ness, and I'm very passionate about the church that I'm involved in, but lots of other things as well. I like to travel when I can, enjoy my time with my family. I do a little woodworking when possible, and right now I'm also full-time employed as a machinist for a local company, so I enjoy making sure that I can do that as well.
A machinist. How interesting.
Yeah.
So your passion is the church you're involved in, the New Apostolic Church. What makes the New Apostolic Church unique?
So we are a Christian denomination, and just like many other Christian denominations, well, all of them, we believe in the Lord. But what kind of is unique about our church is we are specifically focused on His return. So He promised His disciples and apostles that He was going to come again. And we don't believe that's the last judgment, but we believe what He really meant was He's going to come before that. And that's kind of the uniqueness of our church. We want to be ready for that. It doesn't mean we are in any way a cult or anything, but we want to live as good Christians and be able to help others see that and prepare for it as well.
Well, that sounds like it could be the basis for all Christians, or should be.
Yeah. Right.
Now, you are the rector of the congregation, and some of our listeners may not be familiar with that terminology. What does that mean exactly?
Sure. So a rector of a congregation in our church is really someone who's responsible for the overall care and management to a degree of that local congregation. So they work closely with, we call them apostles in our church. They are kind of the top leaders. The rector works closely with them to ensure that the life of the congregation is growing, is vibrant, is healthy, that all the souls are being served. And also the rector is to make sure that the gospel is being preached in its purity from the altar and that the sacraments are being dispensed. So that's really kind of what the rector does. They kind of oversee and make sure all that's getting done. They don't do it all. That kind of was maybe an old way that our church used to do it. The rector or the ministers did everything, but what we're really trying to do these days is just make sure it's getting done and try to make sure that the congregation is involved in doing
it. Because I was going to say that sounds like a lot of responsibility.
Yes, it can be. If they were to take it all on themselves, that would be a lot could very easily get burned out. But we've learned over the years that we just want to make sure it's getting done, that's all. And the members really are the ones who drive the life in the congregation, so we should let them drive it.
Very good. I like that. So I understand you made a pretty big move recently. Can you tell us about that and where you were and why you moved?
Yes, I'd be happy to. And it kind of goes back many, many years. This was 1940s and 50s. There was one congregation in the Denver area of the New Apostolic Church. The name says new, but we really are not that new. The name actually goes back to 1860s when our church was established in Europe. But here in the U.S., it only got to Denver in the 1940s, and there was a congregation here. And then over the years, because of the growth of our members and the different areas they lived in the metro area, it actually split off into three different congregations, one in the south in Littleton, one in the middle in Denver, and one in the north in North Glen. And for many years, those congregations existed and worked together. But then in the 2010 or 11 or so, we began to look at bringing those congregations back together. There's strength in numbers, right? So we wanted to capitalize on all of our members in the metro area, knowing that it means they have to drive a little bit farther because we're all in one place now. And for a while, that was in our North Glen location because it had the largest building that we owned. So everyone came together. But then in December of 2014, we were able to purchase the property that's where we're located at now, which is in Arvada. 52nd and Vance is the closest cross streets there. And then we developed that property. We remodeled it from an old paper warehouse kind of building into our current modern church, which serves us very well, dedicated just this past April, 2016.
Yes, I've seen it. It's a very beautiful church.
Yeah, we're very excited to be there, you know.
Absolutely. And it must have been a big deal for the congregants.
Very much so, yes. It was a kind of a different step forward, if you will. For a long time, like I said, our church was kind of neighborhood-based. We were separated into three congregations because those locations were closest to where our members lived, and we kind of congregated there. But we decided that we wanted to come together and begin to spread out a little bit more into the Denver metro area, being more community-focused instead of just internally focused. Yeah, we did some things before, but we really wanted to make it a priority. So it's a shift in our culture, if you will, a shift from just serving ourselves to making sure that we're serving all souls, especially in our community. We say community, which is immediately Arvada, but really the community is the whole Denver metro area. By pooling our resources, we're hoping we can do more of that. And it was a shock for our members because the distances are a little bit farther. Some embraced it. Some still struggle a little with it. But we're hoping that in time they'll be able to see the great benefit that comes from this new location and what we can do for each other in our community.
I might be overlapping a little bit, but What do you hope to accomplish with the congregation and the community in your new location?
We are hoping that we can begin to reach out more than we have in the past. Like I said, we've done a few things here and there, but we really want to begin to make it more of a part of our culture and our way of life. You know, that's really what we do as Christians. We want to reach out and help those who are in need. We do that pastorally very well in our church. We reach out with the Word of God. We reach out with trying to help them cope with life's problems, but we really have not done the concrete piece, which is help with maybe those who are less fortunate. And that's really been our first big step, is we've begun a food pantry in our church. This is funded by donations from our members, but we're also looking to partner with other local food banks in the area, meaning local churches, but also the larger area, meaning Food Bank of the Rockies. So we're hoping that by partnering, we can begin to reach out and help serve those who are in need in our immediate area, and thereby serve the mission of the Lord, which is to reach out and love all souls.
Excellent. So if people wanted to take advantage of this food bank, how would they do that?
So we are open right now Wednesday mornings from 9 to 11 a.m. We've had some response from the community already. We actually just started that in the middle of July. So it's been just about a month since we've been live with that operation there. And we're hoping that it will continue to grow and that we can help support those other food banks are in the area. They can help support us. That's what we're hoping to.
Yeah, that'd be wonderful. If folks are interested in getting in touch with the church to attend services or just ask questions to see if it might be a fit for them, how can they do that?
Yeah, so the best way is we have an online presence. If they want to go to www.nac-denver.org, it has all the information and some pictures and explanations about who we are in the Denver area. We're part of a larger organization, New Apostolic Church USA, which is part of the larger organization, New Apostolic Church International. But the local website will get you to all those other websites if you want to visit them and look at our doctrine. We have services that are on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. Our worship begins at 10:15, and we invite anybody who would like to come down and check us out and see how they can fit in this wonderful body of Christ that we call our congregation.
Excellent. I want to just reiterate for everyone that's www.nac, for New Apostolic Church, -denver.org.
Right,
and a
correct.
Wealth of information on that site.
Yeah.
Cool. So, is there anything else that you'd like to share with us, Peter, about the church, about the services, about anything at all?
Just we're excited. This is a new chapter and a new page for us in the Denver area, and we're very excited to continue to step forward. You know, with any step forward, there's some growing pains. And we're working through those, but we invite people to come and be a part of that. It's a wonderful opportunity for all of us to be involved in serving not just the Lord, but serving each other and growing in His mind and in His spirit, and hopefully to be ready when He returns, that we can go with Him at the soonest possible moment. And we wish all your listeners a wonderful day, a wonderful week, and the many blessings that our Heavenly Father has to give to all of us. And to you too, Barb. Thanks for bringing us on this morning.
Absolutely. We're so happy that you were here with us today. Thank you again for being here. And hopefully we'll have many people that want to know a little bit more about the New Apostolic Church. Thank you so much for being with us.
No, thank you very much. And thank you to all your listeners, too.
All righty. We're going to take a short break, folks. We'll be back with you in a moment.
Thank you.
Welcome back. Thank you all for being with us today and for staying for both of our guest interviews and for my little portion here. Today I wanted to talk to you about webinar and video marketing and how they can help your business. So we'll start with webinars. Webinars provide really unique opportunities to market your brand, your company, your products and your services, and for you to gain credibility. So rather than marketing one-to-one, webinars allow one-to-many marketing. You can reach hundreds of prospects simultaneously, thus increasing your reach, lead generation, engagement, and revenue. A well-crafted and presented webinar automatically identifies you as a leader in your industry. The webinars give you credibility and infer superior knowledge of the topic, the product, the information, etc. Attendees remember your name and services long after the event, and they're more inclined to do business with you due to an implied familiarity with you and your company, your product, your service. It also increases customer retention and builds and expands client brand loyalty. Customers that are gained through this marketing method, they've proven to remain customers of the products for longer than those who don't attend a presentation of this nature. A natural extension of the specialized retention is an increased loyalty to the company and the product or brand. In addition, it lowers the cost of product launches and lead generation. Uniquely inherent in webinar presentations is the ability to reach a highly targeted audience rather than a shotgun approach often employed by marketers. The cost of lead generation is greatly reduced due to the ability of targeting the right audience, where the likelihood of a higher percentage of takers for your offer is intensified. The cost of launching a new or existing product can be daunting. With a webinar, particularly one that is evergreen, the cost of the launch itself is less than a full-blown media blitz, and you can run it again and again at no extra cost if it is recorded. A webinar lets you engage and educate your target market. Your client wants to engage with you. They want to feel a connection with you, your company, even your vision and your passion. The more you can educate them on the benefits of the product and of doing business with you, the more engaged they will become and the more likely they are to not only become raving fans, but also to remain users and promoters of your product and brand. Webinars also allow you to reach and present to more prospects more often and engage your audience at times that are convenient for them. Your webinar can be a one-time live event or can be evergreen in nature, meaning it can run again and again. Importantly, a unique characteristic in lead generation from a webinar is the ability to ask questions during the webinar registration process that qualify the prospect. This permits you to target those prospects with a sincere interest in and a need for your services instead of spending time ineffectively pursuing prospects who may not be a match to do business with you. And next, I wanted to talk about video marketing. There's a scientific reason that video works so well. Video resonates in a cerebral way. The human brain is hardwired to recognize and respond to the stimuli of faces, voices, emotions, and movement. This makes the elements of the storytelling method used in videos the perfect mode to reach your target market. It's rooted in our biology. In fact, 75% of online marketers are producing unique custom videos for their target market. Online video strengthens customer lifecycle marketing strategies due to its flexibility and ability to engage the customer on several layers. Video doesn't just provide education for your viewers. It invites contemplation and has naturally convincing characteristics. With the capabilities of strategic optimization, search engines are able to easily find your video masterpiece. Taking into consideration the facility to transcribe to text or extract audio from a video, and you have the ability to transform the information in the video to other forms of media. So this makes it advantageous to use video for the starting point of your content marketing. Here are some of the ways that a well-thought-out and executed marketing strategy can use videos to enhance recognition. Search engines. This creates awareness. Emails and newsletters. Encourages engagement, increases conversion, promotes retention, inspires advocacy. Site pages and blogs. Creates awareness, encourages engagement, and increases conversion. Social media. Creates awareness, encourages engagement, increases conversion, promotes retention, and inspires advocacy. Mobile marketing. Encourages engagement, increases conversion. Public relations. Creates awareness, brand alignment, company identity through video. B2C marketing gives more confidence in purchases and encourages engagement. And B2B marketing, which aids in discovery, research, and differentiates. So video marketing enchantment doesn't just happen. It requires diligent work, time, dedication, and a detailed plan. Strategic video marketing, however, solves challenging business issues by connecting with audiences on a deeper level. We will build a targeted video marketing plan to overcome your customer lifestyle challenges and help you reach your goals. As your video marketers, we have the inherent commission to compel interest and engagement from your target market and ideal client. Our content educates, inspires, and informs. We distribute our content in as many marketing channels as possible, for our message must be laser-focused to your ideal client profile. Buckle up and enjoy the ride. We're going to help you enhance and optimize your marketing efforts, refining and perfecting the best video content tactics for your social media blog, website, funnels, and email marketing responders. Well, folks, thank you for being with us today. I'm Barb Sayer, CEO and founder, co-founder of Sister to Sister Enterprises, a marketing and strategic consulting firm. I hope you gained knowledge and insight from the show today. Come back often and make sure to tell your friends and clients about BizBuzz too. Connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn, as well as sistertosisterenterprises.com. Leave us a message at bsayers@sistertosisterenterprises.com. Give us a buzz at 303-524-2163. And come back again on September 1st, noon Mountain Time at bbsradio.com/bizbuzz, when we'll be talking to more business owners and successful entrepreneurs about their businesses. Remember, your success is our success. Bye for now.